Good morning. Mankind tends to approach life with a what's in it for me attitude. If you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. Not sure why back scratching is the topic there, but maybe it's because I can't do it myself. I don't know. But if you're willing to do something for me, then I'll do something for you. But not until. But as we think about our relationships this morning, are marriage relationships about giving or are they about receiving? Are friendships about giving or are they about receiving? Are our relationships between our brethren, our brothers and sisters in Christ, about giving or about receiving? Or is it about an exchange? You give to me, I give to you. Is it just about sharing with each other? The reason this topic is important is because it can be a source of a great deal of pain, a great deal of suffering, and a great deal of conflict between people when they feel like they are giving to others and not receiving anything in return. Whether we are giving someone love, respect, attention, time, money, their preference, or things, we tend to get frustrated and weary of giving it when it's not returned, and we're tempted to quit. We know what Paul told the Galatians in Galatians chapter 6, starting in verse 9. He said, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." So is that a promise? Let us not go weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. Does this mean that if we just keep giving and just don't quit, then the other person will eventually return the favor? Well, not always. So how do we not grow weary in doing good? How do we avoid the turmoil, the frustration, the disillusionment of giving when it doesn't seem like it's coming back to us? So this morning we're going to take a look at our expectations with giving. First of all, we want to figure out when is it that I should receive? Do I need to give first and then wait to receive? In Acts 20 and 35, it says, "I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said it is more blessed to give than receive." In Galatians 6, starting in verse 7, it says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." Give and then receive. But when we give to God, we know that we will reap whatever we sow. That's what he promised us. But what about with people? What about with you and I? Is give and you shall receive the order of things in our relationships with one another? In Proverbs 18 and 24, it talks about how if you are to have friends, you are to show yourself friendly. Give and you will receive. Luke 6, starting in verse 37, says, "Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you may meet withal, it shall be measured to you again." So does that really mean what it says? The same measure that is meet that ye meet with all. In other words, the same measure you give out would be measured back to you again. And it says, "Shall men give into your bosom?" So if I give, then it will be given back to me. In 1 John 4, starting in verse 19, John says, "We love him because he first loved us." If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God, loveth God, love his brother also. Give. Ephesians 4:28, Paul says, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. So should we expect to give of ourselves, give of our resources to others first, and then we'll receive? Kind of like we did with Christ. We love Christ because he gave to us. Is that what we should expect? Well, it doesn't always work that way either, does it? Well, maybe I should wait. Maybe I should wait to receive before I give. I'll just wait. So if you give me something, then I'll give you something back. Well, Jesus told the apostles in Matthew 10 and verse 8, told them to heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. Christ says, you've received it, now give it. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 and 2, concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. As God hath prospered him. So when we gave this morning, you gave because you already received. So should I not give until I have received? Well, that didn't work either. The problem with either one of these ways is in the expectation of an exchange. The expectation of an exchange. No matter whether you give first or you receive first, there is an expectation of an exchange. And there lies the trap. When Jesus told his apostles, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils, freely ye have received, freely give, freely receive from whom? From God. Vertical. And free to give to whom? One another. Horizontal. When we're talking about our relationship with God, vertical, we can be sure that it is not an exchange. You can be sure of that. We have no way of keeping up with the gifts God gives us on an ongoing basis. Do you realize that the time you became aware of who you were already way behind? Way behind. And that's just what he has given us. That isn't even talking about what he's promising to give us if we remain faithful to him. But in the horizontal relationship between each other, it is not always an exchange where you give to me and then I give to you. If you give to me and I fail to return the favor, then you're frustrated, you're angry, you feel justified in refusing to give me any more. I'm ungrateful. What would our lives be like if God operated that way? But that's not what God asks us to do. God asks us and calls us to give like he gives. Luke chapter 6, starting in verse 37. But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you, and to him that smiteth thee on one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak or thy coat, forbid not to take thy cloak also. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as you would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. Should do to you, do to them all likewise. Also to them likewise. For if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the Highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. Matthew records this as Jesus saying that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. God calls us to give like he gives. He gives to the good and the evil. He's kind to the unthankful and the evil. He makes it rain on the just and the unjust. And if we are to be his children, children of the Highest, children of our Father, that is how we will give. Give to all, even those who count you as an enemy, curse you, hate you, and persecute you. Acts 20 and 35 said, I have showed you all things. I have read this just a minute ago. Support the weak, because it is more blessed to give than receive. So when should we give? Whenever the opportunity hits. It's not a matter of whether you received yet or not from that person. It's not a matter of whether you give to that person first, because it's not an exchange. So how much should we give? Well, in Mark 12, starting in verse 41, Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which made a farthing. And she called unto him and his disciples, and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. What's that say about how much to give? What's that tell us? Well, this is referring to what we give to the Lord. What we give to the Lord, that vertical relationship with God. And in that situation, giving our all is appropriate, isn't it? Giving our all. God promises us that if we give him our all, that we will be rewarded. And God is faithful. Unlike you and I, God is faithful. He says that, that's what's going to happen. Luke 18, starting in verse 29. The apostles had asked Jesus, what about us? We've given up everything to follow you. And his response is, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or parents or brethren, or wife, or children, for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time and in the world to come, life everlasting. God's promise is that he will reward you. He will reward you here and in life, in everlasting life. But does the same principle apply when we're giving to one another? Should I give you all that I've got? Well, in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, this is similar to what Justin was reading for the Lord, for the collection. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, Paul says, Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of the liberality. Now what that means in English, if you happen to miss that, they were being afflicted. They were in poverty. And yet they gave richly abundantly to those who had need. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. The Christians at Corinth were going through a great deal of affliction. They were in deep poverty. They were poor. And yet they were willing to give beyond what they had the power to do. I don't know how much they gave. I don't know how much they gave. I don't know if they gave more than they could, or if it's, as it says, they were willing to give more than they could. But the point is, they were willing to give even more than they reasonably could, even when they had it, not any extra to spare. So is that what we should do? We should just give everything. Everything. Well, Paul gives his advice to the church at Corinth later in that chapter, starting in verse 10, regarding the desire they had to give aid to their fellow brethren. 2 Corinthians 8, starting in verse 10. And here, I give my advice. For this is expedient for you who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. They promised to do this before. Now, therefore, perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, they were ready to do it, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, not according to that he hath not. For I mean not that other men be eased and ye burdened, but by an equality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, and that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. As it is written, he that hath gathered much hath nothing over, and he that had gathered little had no lack. Christ himself was asked by the Jews what we should do. In Luke 3, in verse 11, he answered and said, he that hath two coats, let him impart to him that hath none, and he that hath meat, let him do likewise. So how much should I give? Well, when we give to God, it is good to give him our all, rather than just a little bit of our abundance, because God is faithful to us. But when we're giving to our fellow man, Christ and Paul suggest that we give of our abundance, of what we have, so that no one is in want. The point is that no one be in want, that no one is suffering. You don't need to go give to the point that now you're in need, and now you're in want. That wasn't the point. He says, give of what you have. If you've got two coats, let him give to somebody who doesn't have a coat at all. It's commendable to give to the point of sacrificing your own desires, but the point is to give so there is no need. But we oftentimes get this backwards, don't we, in our relationship with one another. We look for what we're receiving and we adjust our giving based on what we receive. You haven't given anything to me for a while, so I'm not interested in giving anything to you. Or you give me a lot, so I'm going to make sure I give something back to you. So the question becomes, how do we give to one another without getting frustrated and discouraged if we don't receive? That's a big question in any relationship you want to talk about. We need to remember that when we extend our love, our compassion, our resources to others in need, horizontal, others in need, we reflect the love of God, in that his love has been poured out to us. Poured out to us. His love is being poured out to us, vertical, down to us, like it's coming through a funnel. And what's that verse say? That's a terrible cup. Anyway, that's a cup. Okay. All right. What's it say? Our cup runneth over. Right? Okay. There's no relevance to the X and O's. They're just others. So we need to remember that when we extend our love, our compassion, our resources to others in need, horizontal, we reflect the love of God in that He has poured out on us His love when we didn't deserve it. We didn't deserve this. And we need to be willing to pass it on to others who may have nothing to give to you. They may have nothing to give to you. In 1 John 3, starting verse 16, it says, "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother hath need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." But what if that brother's never done anything for me? Didn't say anything about that, did it? No. Said, "Who hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him?" This is not an exchange. This is not an exchange. If I look on a brother in need and I don't help them and I have the capacity to help them, the love of God is not in me. Romans 12, starting in verse 9. Paul says, "Let love be without dissimulation or hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend or associate with men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense no man for evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto the wrath, for it is written, Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." Did you notice the direction of flow in that passage? Be kindly affectioned, honor and prefer others, not lazy, rejoicing, patient, praying, distributing to the necessities, hospitable, bless those who curse you, rejoice with those rejoicing, weep with those weeping, associate with those of lowest position, provide things honest, live peaceably. I missed what I was receiving in there, did you? That's all about giving. The flow is out towards others, giving to others. So how do we overcome evil with good? By reminding ourselves that this is not an exchange. This is not an exchange. It's not good for good, evil for evil. It's not an eye for an eye and a tooth for tooth, as Christ said. It's not that. It's not about that. We overcome evil by doing good, giving good, because God gives good to us. and expects us to give it forward to others. It is about giving to those in need without expectation of any repayment. Why should they repay you? When you received it as a gift from God as well, why should they pay you? It just happened to come through you. You didn't deserve it any more than they do. In Matthew 25, we won't turn there, but in the parable of the talents, the kingdom of heaven is compared to a man delivering his goods to his servants. And they were given talents, and they were expected to use them. And then if they received back to the glory of the master, that was fine. But you remember the one that had one talent, what did he do? He took that talent and buried it. Why? Why would he bury something that was a gift? He tells us. Because he was afraid. Afraid of what? Of losing it. Of losing it. He was afraid he wouldn't receive. He was afraid he would lose the gift. And so he wasn't wanting to give it out. He wasn't wanting to put it to use. So the lesson for us is don't refuse to give what has been given to you for fear of losing it yourself. Because the end result is you do lose it. In 2 Corinthians 9, starting in verse 6, Paul says, "He which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." As he purposeth in his heart. How do we give and avoid the frustration of whether we're receiving it back? Well, when we give to someone, we need to decide in our heart what we can give cheerfully. Don't give to them without some expectation of receiving something back from them, because if they don't, you're going to have given grudgingly. And you will be hurt. And it wasn't really a gift at all. It was an implied exchange, wasn't it? I gave to you. Why didn't you give back to me? A true gift does not imply an exchange. We receive every good and perfect gift from God. James 1:17 tells us that. Every good and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. God wants to know whether we're going to just absorb all those blessings. We were talking about this Wednesday night after class. God wants to know if we're going to absorb all those blessings ourselves, or are we going to disperse them? Are we going to absorb them to our own satisfaction and our own pleasures? Kind of like the parable of the rich farmer, remember, that had a bumper crop? And his response was, well, I'm going to build bigger barns, and then I'm just going to sit back and take my ease. Like there wasn't anybody else that might need some of that. Are we going to absorb it to our own satisfaction, or are we going to be a sprinkler system with the blessings of God pouring through you and out to everyone you come in contact with? Are they going to be able to see the love of God in the way that you love one another? Continuing in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. Did you hear that? There's the flow. That ye always have all sufficiency in all things, he's provided all things that are that you need, may abound to every good work. Out. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the wants of the saints. In other words, your gift that they were sending, this situation was money, your gift that you're sending to those people in need, those Christians in need, not only supplieth the wants of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgiving to you? No. Thanksgiving to God. While by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ and for your liberal distribution to them and to all men. And by their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Thanks be to God by giving what God has given us, we are not expecting glory to us or a gift to us. So how do we not grow weary in well-doing? How do we give as God would have us to? Well, number one, we give to others recognizing that our gift is what God has given freely to us. We've already received more than we could possibly imagine. So when we give to others, we recognize that it is our gift from God that He freely gave us. Number two, we should have no expectation of repayment. No expectation of an exchange. We are reflecting God's love to all, whether it's returned or not, just like God did. Number three, we overcome evil with good by giving to those who are our enemies, just as Christ gave himself while we were his enemies. That's how you overcome evil. You overcome evil by giving. Number four, don't hold on to God's blessings for fear of losing them. They're meant to be used and to bring glory to the Father. Number five, decide in your heart to give freely and cheerfully, not expecting something in return. Does that mean if you're expecting something in return, you just shouldn't give? No. You need to change your expectations and go ahead and give. And number six, give God the glory for the gift, whether you're receiving it from Him or giving it to somebody else. The point of giving to one another is not so we will receive. The point of giving to others is because you've already received. You've already received from God. Received enough to give to others, whether they be your mate, your children, your parents, your neighbors, your brothers and sisters in Christ, or even your enemy. To God be the glory and praise, not to you. By doing so, we won't grow weary in well-doing. Weariness comes from my expectations not being met. Truly give it as a gift, just as it was given to you, whether the other person gives it in return or not. Now, it's wonderful when you receive too. There's nothing wrong with receiving. Please don't misunderstand me. When somebody gives, somebody has to receive. There's nothing wrong with receiving. But give to others, regardless of whether they give back to you. By this, you are reflecting God's love in giving to all, wanting all to have what they need. Why does God make it rain on the just and the unjust? Because God doesn't want anybody to suffer, even if they spit in his face. He has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, and Christ gave himself up so that we could have a relationship with him for eternity. It's not an exchange. It's not an exchange. If you have not accepted Christ's sacrifice, repented of your sins, confessed that he is the Christ, and been baptized to take away your sins, then you need to understand that this is a gift freely given to you because God loves you. God has done everything he could possibly do. He's given everything he could possibly give because he wants you to succeed. He wants you to be good. He wants you to spend eternity with him in heaven. He's given everything. He's hanging on your every word, your every thought, wanting you to do what you should do so that you can spend eternity with him in heaven. If you have accepted him and been baptized for the remission of your sins, but have brought reproach on Christ and his church by sinning, he still offers his gift of forgiveness. He still wants you to be with him in eternity. If you'll forgive or repent, and he will forgive you. So as we give, remember that it's not an exchange. This is not an exchange. This is a transfer. This is what I got, I received, and this is what I'm going to give. It is a transfer, and we reflect God's love in doing so. The invitation is yours to stand and sing.